Brian's going to come to bring the word. Let's just sing a song to him. Oh Lord, my heart, it is open. And won't you come inside? Just fill up all my being. Ever you abide.
This place to hear your word, Father, and even God, just to bask yourself in your presence. And I just pray, God, that you would touch each heart tonight, Father, even this during this day, Father, this morning, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just bring us, Lord, into your presence, and even God, that we might be overwhelmed by your Spirit. Lord God, minister to each one, Father, we pray. Even Lord, as we turn ourselves over to you, Father, we pray, God, let us hear, Father, what the Spirit has to say to the church today. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. You know, lovely to be here. You know, and in this, you know, this great, you know, this great place of worship. Amen. You know, just to come before the Lord. And you know, and it's been, you know, quite a real blessing. You know, sometimes we you know, we listen back home. And, you know, we try to sometimes listen, you know, at the time when, you know, when you're actually going live. It's a little bit difficult sometimes, though, because sometimes you start at 12 o'clock at night, you know, and, you know, we'd love to stay with you right through the, you know, to the wee hours in the morning. But, you know, we hear as much as we can sometimes, and we love the Global Answers as well. I have to commend you on the Global Answers, you know, because it's been such a blessing to our fellowship, and when we've been listening to some of these things, it's provoked a lot of discussion. And, you know, sometimes we use it, you know, we maybe listen to about half an hour, you know, the half hour session, and then we kind of open it up for discussion. And it's really good, you know, just to get our minds working and, you know, and the Spirit moving in our midst and begin to, you know, look into the things of God. So we really appreciate the work that's been done. And, you know, and certainly, you know, we don't receive it through satellite. You know, we've got to have the DVDs, you know, but, you know, God is really blessing that. And I just say to you, just keep up the good work, you know, because I'm quite sure if it's blessing us, it's blessing others as well. Amen. Now, I'd like to start off with maybe just, you know, singing something for you. And I've got this song here. This is one that we love in Scotland, you know, and we always have, you know, something that, you know, really blesses us, you know, at any particular time. We've got two songs here that I'm going to sing, but one is Behold the Lord. You know, Behold the Lord upon his throne, his face is shining like the sun. And I believe that this is actually, you know, this is actually a song that was written by an Irishman, you know, so we're going to sing this to you just now. Now, let's just see how this all works. I'll sing the first verse, and if you want to join in with some of them, you know. Behold the Lord upon his throne, his face is shining like the sun, with eyes blazing fire and feet glowing bronze, his voice like mighty waters roar. Holy,
holy. Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, we stand in awe of you. The first, the last, the living one, laid down his life for all the world. Behold, he now lives forevermore and holds the keys to death and hell. Holy, holy, O Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, we bow before your throne.
You're awful quiet there. You think you can try the third verse? So let our praises ever ring to Jesus Christ, our glorious King. All heaven and earth, the sound as we cry, worthy is the Son of God. Holy, holy, O Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, we fall down at your feet. Second verse. The first, the last, the living one, lay down his life for all the world. Behold, he now lives forevermore and holds the keys to death and hell. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, we bow before your throne. Last verse, let our praises ever ring to Jesus Christ, our glorious King. All heaven and earth, the sound as we cry, worthy is the Son of God. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, we fall down at your feet. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, we fall down at your feet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As it says, so let our praises ever ring to Jesus Christ, our glorious King. Amen. I'm just going to sing one more for you and then we'll get into the Word. You know, and this is another one that we really like, which is called Baruch Hashem Adonai. And I'm going to ask my daughter, Sonia, if she could come out. You know, of course, Sonia's, she's part of this fellowship here. And it's not very often that I get a chance to sing with her. So I'm taking full advantage of the whole situation here.
Am I to be part of your people, the ones that are called by your name? Could I be chosen as one of your own? Could it be that our blood is the same? How can a stranger, a remnant of nations, belong to this royal line? You showed your grace when the branches were broken, and I grafted into the vine. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai. How could you show me such bountiful mercy by taking the life of the Lamb? Your love is greater than I can imagine. I bless you with all that I am. Praise to you, Jesus, the veil has been parted, and what once was secret is known. And now I can cry to you, Abba, my Father, and praise you as one of your own. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Second verse. How could you show me such bountiful mercy by taking the life of the Lamb? Your love is greater than I can imagine. I bless you with all that I am. Praise to you, Jesus, the veil has been parted, and what once was secret is known. And now I can cry to you, Abba, my Father, and praise you as one of your own. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Amen. Thanks very much, Paul. Amen. You know, I just love the worship that we hear from here. You know, and it's really inspiring. Praise the Lord. And I think we've actually, you know, pinched quite a few of your songs as well. I hope you don't mind. Amen. Just a little word. You know, I believe that maybe some of the brothers back home will actually be listening in. You know, it'll be tonight for them. You know, maybe this morning for us. But you know, half of our congregation, you know, strangely enough, is half of our congregation is actually Congolese, you know, which might sound a bit strange considering, you know, that I come from Scotland. But that actually began a few years ago. You know, we were, you know, I was praying about something and I had a burden in my heart, you know, and knowing that Glasgow was one of the recipients of, you know, quite a number of asylum seekers and refugees, you know, from around the world. And one night we were having our, you know, our prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, and I said, you know, I've really got a burden, you know, for some of these asylum seekers coming in, and I feel that, you know, maybe some of them, you know, actually know about the message, and you know, we really need to, you know, kind of get down to pray and ask God, you know, if we can do anything for these people. And so I had a little discussion about it and prayed about it and said, well, you know, we'll have a look and find out what languages they speak, you know, where they hang out, you know, where's the best place to put posters, advertise, you know, all that kind of thing, you know, and I was looking, you know, I was kind of thinking along those lines, you know, to try and, you know, find out where some of these people were. And, you know, that Sunday, you know, I was actually, you know, studying, I was getting ready for the meeting, and something that I don't normally do is answer the telephone, and all of a sudden there's this phone call. You know, and there was a brother in the end of it, said, message, And I thought he'd left a message on my answer phone or something like that. You know, message. You know, come to church. Oh, right, okay then. And I realised that it was, you know, that it was someone, you know, who was an international, you know, foreign person from somewhere, you know, who actually wanted to come along to the meeting. And, you know, and what I found was that, you know, when God places a burden, He knows what He's doing. You know, and there is a scripture that says, before you ask, you know, I'll answer you. And, you know, this brother came along with his wife, you know, and things started to roll from there. And then over the years, we've actually ended up with half and half, you know, Scots and Congolese together. You know, and sometimes God brings together some of the most unlikely people, doesn't He? You come into fellowship. And God brought us, you know, brought us together. And, you know, and God's been really good, you know, in blessing us, you know, together as we sing and we worship. And, you know, and one of the things that I really appreciate about these brothers and sisters is that they really love the Word of God. You know, and when you think of some of the stories that some of them could actually, you know, major on, you know, they could talk about, you know, being tortured. They could talk about, you know, how they'd been tortured and seen people, you know, killed in front of them. And, you know, for some of us, we might say, oh, that'd be a great testimony. You know, let's, you know, talk about it. But that's not the way these people are. You know, the way these people are is they want to talk about the Lord. And they want to talk about, you know, what God is doing. And they're not looking at the past, they're looking at the goal set before them. And, you know, and that's something that is, for me, has been really humbling. You know, just to know that. And, you know, just say to, you know, Brother Nick there, you know, that you should be proud of your, you know, your fellow countrymen. You know, because I certainly am, you know, that they would stand there. And, you know, I appreciate their stand for the Word. You know, and that they just want to hear about God. And when they come along to service, you know, they come along prepared, you know, for worship and prepared, you know, to hear the things of God. And they just want to learn, you know. So I really appreciate that. And it's amazing, you know, how, you know, when you have a burden and you begin to ask, that God, you know, already knows what you're going to ask for. The thing is that He wants you to ask, you know, and I think that's where a lot of us fall down. You know, because we don't, you know, if you don't expect nothing, nothing will happen. You know, that's just the way that it works. And, you know, from that, you know, I was actually looking at a scripture that I thought would bring today. And it's taken from Zechariah 10 and verse 1. You know, and the purpose, you know, this morning is really just to raise your faith. I want to try and raise your faith today, you know, as we're looking at the Word of God. And there's only one thing that can raise the faith of a believer, and that's the Word of God, isn't it? You know, so that's what we want to do today. And you'll have to forgive me if I keep on saying tonight, because I always preach at night time. You know, so sometimes I'm not quite aware of, you know, the time zone that I'm in. You know, so you'll have to forgive me for that if I make a wee mistake there. And in Zechariah the prophet here, he says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field." You know, and from that scripture there, you know, I was just thinking how, you know, we need to ask at the right time. You know, God knows the seasons and God knows the time. And we really need to, you know, when we ask anything, you know, usually, you know, it's in a season when it's, you know, it's appropriate, when God wants to move. You know, so often, you know, we can see a scripture. You know, and a scripture is a real blessing to us. And we look at that scripture and it's a real blessing. And then we see that scripture again and it's such a blessing. You know, but there comes a time where that scripture comes into its season. Amen. And it actually becomes, you know, a revelation to us. Amen. You know, it becomes life. It becomes food to us. You know, and it's no longer, I've gone past the stage of it just being a little blessing. You know, but it's actually become food to our soul. You know, and there comes a time where we need to ask as well. You know, and it's saying, ask for rain, you know, in the time of the latter rain. In other words, it's expected. You know, and I tell you that, you know, as God's people are expecting great things of God. You know, we are expecting things. You know, as a believer, we should be really, you know, waiting for God to do something really miraculous in our midst. You know, we really should be. And I think that, you know, what I'm trying to do is kind of raise your faith here today so that we're, you know, we have an attitude of expectancy. You know, we're expecting God to move and God to do something amongst us here. You know, and that latter rain, you know, that latter rain usually came down at the time of Pentecost. You know, that's the, there was a former rain, you know, and there was a latter rain. You know, the former rain was the one that came, you know, a few months prior to, you know, at the time of planting the harvest. You know, there's a time to plant seeds. And that was the time when, you know, there was a rain. You know, God actually sent a shower of rain, you know, at that time. And then after that, there was a latter rain which swelled the grain. You know, and, you know, I think the principle that I'm really trying to get over here is that there's a principle here about asking. Now, I'm going to turn also to a scripture here in James, you know, which is taken from James 4. And this is about the principle of asking. You know, sometimes wars, and we have spiritual wars, spiritual battles, not just ordinary wars, but we also have spiritual wars as well, you know, which come amongst the believers. And here James is, you know, pointing out something to us here. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? He says, come they not hence even of your own lusts that you war in your members? You know, so that's something that, you know, we actually do ourselves, and we actually, you know, bring this war and this conflict, you know, into our own lives. And he says, you lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. He says, you fight and war. He says, yet you have not because you ask not. You know, sometimes we get so, you know, fussed up, you know, and we think, you know, God's not doing anything for me. You know, why can't God do something for me? You know, and the trouble is that sometimes we just do not ask. You know, and that's really what's at the bottom of the whole thing. We don't ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. He says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You know, sometimes it's possible even to ask amiss. You know, a believer, you know, should always, whenever we come before God and we are asking something of God, it should always agree with this scripture as well. You know, this scripture here, you know, is, you know, this here is our, you know, is everything to us. You know, and, you know, and our whole life should be based on this word. This word here should actually be a reflection of the believer. You know, whenever God does something in his word and we see that, you know, that word should be bouncing off of us. And we should begin to reflect that word. See? And so he says, you ask and you receive. He says, sometimes you ask amiss. In other words, you're not on the word and you're asking for something that's kind of outside the word. And that's where the problem lies. He says that you may consume it on your own lust. You know, so there's you know, there's something there. It's a principle that we have to ask. And I believe that the bride of Jesus Christ, you know, has got to come into its season where it begins to ask of God. You know, some of us have forgotten to ask God. You know, and we're kind of sitting back in our laurels and we're enjoying ourselves. You know, and it may be about time that we started to ask God of things. You know, and this man here, Zechariah, you know, he was a prophet. He really knew what he was talking about. He was someone who was in tune with God. And what you have to remember here is that the work of a prophet is to reflect the word of God. See, you know, Brother Branham said in Things That Are To Be, he says, a prophet is a reflector of God. See, and I really believe that when someone is in tune with God, you know, whether it be a preacher or whether it be, you know, whether it be the housewife at home, you know, if they are in tune with God, they become a reflector. Amen. You know, you can be a reflector of God to your neighbour. You know, don't just wait for the preacher, you know, to bring forth the words. You know, sometimes, you know, we can actually reflect God. And what Brother Branham here says is that a prophet is a reflector of God. He is made so that he, you know, cannot speak his own word. He says, but he says it has to be God's word that he speaks. He's just a reflector. He's just God's mouthpiece. Now, how would it be if we came along, you know, and listened to someone who was just speaking their own words? You know, that wouldn't bless you at all. You know, we have to be actually, you know, it has to be someone who is in tune with God, you know, and who is a reflector of that word. You know, everything that we see in this Bible here, you know, that is just, we have actually got to be a reflection of this. This is God, you know, in print form. You know, and everything that we see in this word here, you know, we are saying amen to that. Amen. Amen. And as we are saying amen, we are actually beginning to reflect that word there. You know, so, you know, a prophet is a reflector of the word of God, as we said here. You know, and that's actually quite a tall order. You know, remember that in the Old Testament, if you prophesied something wrong, what would happen to you? Would they just pat you in the back and say, well, you know, you got that wrong there? In the Old Testament, they would stone the prophet. They would stone him. Yet, you know, it's amazing how some people get up and they just say, you know, anything that comes into their heart. You know, we have to be a reflector of the word. See, a reflector of the word. And any prophet, any preacher should be a reflector of that word. Now, we find that, you know, that we've to ask of rain, you know, at the time of the latter rain. Now, what Brother Branham said about that, he said, you know, now, this is an end time seed sign. He mentions here, he says, now we said in the last days, you know, Joel told us, you know, that there would be a former and latter rain. A former and latter rain in the same season. He says, now the word former, you know, in the Hebrew, mora. Mora means teaching. See, it's teaching rain. He says, and there will come a teaching rain. He says, what is it? He says, putting seeds into the earth. He says, what's going on? You know, and I really believe that, you know, that the word of God has been placed in hearts. You know, even today, you know, just think about, you know, what Brother Branham did. You know, I really appreciate what Brother Branham did. But I believe that the word of God has been placed in hearts today. You know, I believe that, you know, as Brother Branham says, every generation gets a fresh chance at the word. And the word of God is coming forth. And we have to take, you know, those words and those thoughts, you know, and those seeds into our heart. You know, that they might come forth. And he says that, you know, that former rain was like a kind of teaching rain. You know, and it's a teaching rain which comes. So the former rain is a teaching rain, but then comes the latter rain. Now, I believe that word that is actually used, you know, in the Hebrew is actually eloquence. Now, I'm not an expert in Hebrew or Greek or anything like that. You know, I wouldn't pretend to be. But the thing is that it says the latter rain here is like the eloquence. In other words, the demonstration, the manifestation. You know, and that is where the believer should be, you know, setting their sights on today, is coming to that demonstration on and that manifestation, you know, of that word. You know, we should be reflecting that word of God as it comes to us. You know, we have to learn to ask of God, you know, to, you know, ask in the appropriate time. You know, this is the season, you know, and I really believe that the word of God has been sown. Now, you might have been listening to the word of God for, I don't know how many years. You know, or how many months, or maybe even just a few days, maybe you've just heard about the word. You know, but that word is sown in your heart for a purpose. It has got to come forth in its season. Every seed comes forth in its season. You know, and that word of God, of course, we read in the scriptures, it says that word of God will not return void. It will accomplish that which it's been sent out to do. You know, and I really believe that something has been accomplished as the word of God is going out and as the believer feeds on it as well. So the believers are learning to ask in faith. You know, and when we ask in faith, we begin to discover that Christ will feed us, that Christ will wash us, that Christ will clothe us, that Christ will cover you with his protection. You know, and it's all part of, you know, just learning first of all to take that first step in asking God. We have to, you know, come to this place where we're asking of God. Now the believer has to learn how to ask in faith. You know, we believe that the seed, you know, of course, cries out for moisture. You know, and that seed within us, you know, is really looking, you know, for the quenching of the, you know, the Spirit of God coming upon us. Now, I'm turning here to Matthew 7, and we'll just hear now just a simple scripture here, but I'm going to read it to you. You know, and it's Matthew 7, and I'm starting at verse 7. You know, and this is about the believers, you know, and what we have to do. To ask of God. Now listen to how the Lord exhorts us here to ask. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. You know, he doesn't say ask and it might be given to you. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. See, he's saying, you know, be positive about it. You've got to have a right mental attitude towards his word. It will come to pass. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. He says, seek and you shall find. He says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And everyone, he says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. He says, and he that seeketh, findeth. You know, so there is something to be found in the scriptures. There's something to be found, you know, in the depths of God. He says, and everyone that asks, receiveth. He says, and to him that knocketh, it will be opened. He says, or what man of is there of you, you know, whom... if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? I tell you, God gives us good gifts. He gives us good gifts. And if we ask for something, He gives us the genuine article. No, don't ask amiss. Ask for something that's found in the Word. Tell you, if you start asking for the right things, He'll give you the right things. You know, sometimes God answers and He says, no, absolutely no way. You know, sometimes He answers and He says, well, you know, in its time. And then other times He just gives us it. But one thing we know is that God gives us good gifts. He does. You know, every time. He says, if then being evil, that's us, right? He says, if then being evil you know to give good gifts unto your children. He says, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts unto them that ask of Him? Amen. He says, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, He says, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You know, I tell you, you know, the emphasis here, of course, is on persistence. You know, when it says knock, you know, this is another wee Greek thing. I'm not really, you know, into all the Greek and Hebrew. But the thing is that it's a persistence. We have to be persistent when we're knocking. It doesn't, you know, in the actual text, seemingly it says, it's not just knocking, it's continuing to knock. You know, it's continuing to ask. God wants to see if it's really just a whim. You know, is it just a whim or is it something that you really desire in your heart? He wants to see that, you know, what that is. You know, and for the believer, let me tell you something here. For the believer, mountains can be removed. Mountains can. You know, I think that they should put a sign at the bottom of every mountain. Mountaineers climb at their own risk. You know, because mountains can be removed. You know, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say to you, if you have faith, and doubt not. He says, and ye shall not only do this which is done, you know, to the fig tree, but also I say unto you, this mountain be removed. Amen. See, be thou removed and cast into the sea. It says, it shall be done. See, all things whatsoever you should ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Amen. You know, I tell you, the believer stands in a very privileged position, don't they? We stand in a very privileged position. Just to know that we've got the whole of the authority of heaven right behind us here. You know, that when a believer says something, you know, and it's based in Scripture, he knows where he's standing. He's got the right anointing. You know, it's the right circumstances, you know, and he says something, it's got to come to pass. You know, and that should really raise a faith. You know, just to know that Jesus has actually said, if you ask, it shall be given to you. You know, don't just ask and think, well, you know, wonder if it'll come. You know, we should ask believing. Because if we believe and say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. That's what the Scripture says. So, we might have mountains. Every one of us have a mountain in our lives. You know, some of us have mountains of anger. You know, some of us have mountains of indifference, jealousy. Maybe we need healing. You know, that might be a mountain that needs to be removed as well. Any situation that needs to be overcome, maybe or even in bondage of sin. You know, if you're out there today and, you know, and perhaps, you know, you're saying, well, you know, I really need to walk with God. You know, maybe this is time to ask and say, God, I want that mountain removed because I've been under this burden for too long now. And, you know, and you're saying, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not whatever. You know, I don't have enough faith. No, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. See, and we really need to, you know, begin to ask God. God can set you free. You know, God can deliver you. You know, and sometimes people are not delivered because they don't ask. That's why. You know, I often find that, you know, sometimes, you know, being a pastor, you know, you're talking to people and you're saying, you know, and they seem to be under such a burden. You know, and a lot of the time it's because they don't ask, because they want to be under that burden. Now, we have to really, you know, we have to be really positive when we come to this word and say, God, I see what your word says and I believe it. You know, that's where the believer should come to, a place where he just utterly believes this word of God. And, you know, and it says here that it shall come to pass. You know, so God has made a great provision, you know, for all believers. You know, we come, you know, to meet with God, you know, only for one reason, really. You know, Christ is the fountain of eternal life. You know, He is the fount of eternal life, and also, you know, he frees us from our burdens. You know, He sets us free and He's, you know, sets at liberty those that are bound. You know, and he's a wonderful God. He is the fountain of life to overflowing. You know, and God wants to provide sometimes more than we want to receive. And that is the truth. You know, because, you know, we have so many needs and God just wants to provide. And the problem is that sometimes we don't want to receive. It's just too much. We take, you know, as I heard someone say one time, taking God in little bits. You know, we talk about baby steps. You know, just little baby steps towards God. You know, I tell you that when you become a fully fledged, you know, veteran believer, you start running towards God. You say, God, you know, I really need you. You know, and we have to really get to that place where we trust God. You know, when he says leap, we leap. You know, because, you know, he will certainly sustain us. He will catch us. You know, God is a compassionate God. You know, and I really believe that we are, you know, real benefactors of the things that God has done for us. You know, when we look in our own lives and we think about, you know, how God has been treating us over the years, you know, and he's been, you know, doing, you know, he's been leading us and guiding us. You know, I just think it's absolutely wonderful. And, you know, and we have to ask, you know, Christ will feed us. You know, that was one of the things I said earlier on there, that when you actually, you know, come to this place where you realise that we can ask, we begin to realise that Christ can feed us. You know, we read here that, you know, one thing we return to John 6 and 53, and one thing we realise from this is that the bride needs fed. Now, and what does the bride feed on? Now, the bride doesn't feed on just some old denominational ideas. The bride has got to feed on the Word of God. You know, Jesus said in John 6 and 53, you know, it says unto them, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, except, he says, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You know, so for every believer here today, you know, we have to realize that we have to feed on something. If you want to grow, if you want to, you know, come to that stage where you're asking in faith and receiving from him, we have to feed. You know, we have to begin to feed on this word here. And it says, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. So the believer feeds on that word. You know, the Bible actually says, you know, Matthew 24, 28, you know, it says, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. And I believe that as the word of God is going forth, now this isn't just something that happened many, many years ago. I'm talking about now. As the word of God goes forth, the believers begin to feed upon that word. I trust that as the word of God is going forth, that it begins to excite you. You know, the believer should be excited with the word of God as it comes forth. You know, and where the carcass is, in other words, where that body of the Son of Man is, that's where the eagles will be gathered. See, they'll be gathered round that. You know, and of course, you know, this scripture in itself, you know, is a foreshadow of communion. You know, take, you know, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, and this is actually a foretaste, you know, of, you know, that communion that we have, you know, with God, you know, in him. You know, and the believers are feeding on what we call the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. I've got a quote here from Anointed Ones at the End Times. Brother Branham says, he says, the Son of Man is Christ. Now, I take it that we all know that. The Son of Man is Christ. He is the Anointed One. He is the one that you're feeding on. See? So, in other words, you're not feeding on, you know, just a man standing in a pulpit. I trust that nobody... No, I tell you, see, you know, my words, you know, if I was to go up here and speak things of myself, you know, I tell you, you would go to sleep. Is there anybody asleep here just now? No? Right. You would go to sleep, you know, because, you know, what I'm saying is absolutely of no significance. I have got absolutely nothing to say of myself. But when the word comes on the scene, that's different. Because it's no longer the words of man, it's the word of God that's coming forth. You know, the Bible actually tells you that faith cometh by hearing. You know, and that doesn't mean to say that you're listening to Alexander Scourbury all the time. You know, I believe that, you know, the word of God comes forth from the platform. This is the fresh manna that comes forth and feeds, you know, every believer. And he says here that you're feeding on he says you're not feeding on a man. He says a man, his words can fail. He says, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. You know, I tell you, even Brother Branham asks something here. He says, if you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly above all these denominations and things of the world, he says, will you at this time do it? See, so even he recognises that, you know, that not everybody is flying in formation. You know, we've got to get ourselves to that place. You know, find out where the carcass is. You know, recognise what the carcass is for what it is. You know, there's nothing worse than seeing, you know, an animal that's been in captivity for a long, long time. You know, and then it gets out. You know, you just put it out into the wild. You know, and it doesn't even recognise what food is. You know, that's shameful, isn't it? You know, say a tiger or something like that. Maybe tiger's a bad thing to say just now. You know, but, you know, an animal, you know, going out there and doesn't even recognise what food is. You know, but the believer has first of all got to recognise what that word is. You know, is this the word of God? You know, what is it that I'm really feeding on? Is this going to bless me? Is this going to, you know, is this going to change my life here? And we've got to recognise, first of all, that that is the word of God. And then once you recognise that you've found the source, the font of eternal life, then you begin to feed on it. You know, and that is how the people of God are blessed. That is how the believer is blessed. You know, so he asked that question. You know, and for the bride of Jesus Christ, you know, for the believer, you know, we are fed on an exclusive diet. Absolutely exclusive diet. You know, and there's only certain ones that can actually, you know, feed on this. You know, Brother Branham also says a couple of pages back here, he says that where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. He says, where the carcass is, where the killing is, he says, there the eagles will be gathered. He says, where the fresh meat is, he says, the word of the season. You know, we always say Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, I tell you, that's not just for Christmas. That's for now. That's for now. Amen. You know, in between times as well, you know, in between Christmas, every day of the year. So we've got 365 next year, haven't we? You know, 365, we've got a leap year. You know, but the thing is, we've got, you know, 365 days, you know, where it's the season. You know, whenever the Word of God comes, it always comes in season. You know, that's one of the great things about the Word of God. You know, so he says that where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. He says, where the killing is, there the eagles will be gathered. He says, where the fresh meat is, the word in its season, there will the eagles be gathered. I guess that the eagles are gathered here today. Eh? He says, but after it's rotten, he says, then the vultures will swarm into it. You know, they don't want the fresh meat. You know, they would rather have something, you know, God in little bits, you know, and preferably something that's just a little bit out of date. You know, past its sell-by, as we would say. You know, and he says, but after it's rotten, he says, then the vultures will swarm to it. He says, yeah. He says, see what I mean? He says, when the kill is made, he says, here comes the eagles. He says, but after it lays there, he says, rotten, he says, then comes the vultures. Eagles won't have nothing to do with it. See, Jesus said, where the carcass is, he says, where the manna fell, the night the manna falls fresh, there the eagles will gather it. It's the manna for the day. Amen. Amen. And I believe that God is bringing us manna for the day. Amen. He's bringing us something very, very special. Now, we know that when we come to the Lord and we start to ask, you know, also that Christ will wash us as well. You know, I think this is very, very important and something that, you know, that some, you know, find this concept difficult. You know, but really, you know, we have to be washed clean as well because, you know, coming to the Lord is a process. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. The believer has to be washed. You know, some think that, oh, well, I can just come along to church and, you know, as long as I'm attending there, paying my tithe, you know, everything's okay. You know, but we also have to be washed as well. You know, and sometimes that involves, you know, washing the inward self as well. You know, and that's where it can sometimes get difficult. But Jesus Christ will wash you because he is the fount of eternal life. And he will take you to the fountain. You know, David said in the Psalms, and this is taken from Psalm 51, 6, or verse 7. David said, purge me with hyssop. He says, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, just think about it. The believer, you know, draws life from that fountain. But he's also washed by that fountain as well.
You know, and the thing about the hyssop, you know, I believe that the hyssop was just a common weed. You know, anybody that's been over in Israel, I haven't been over to Israel, my daughter has, you know, but there's things like hyssop lying about the place. And it's a very, very common thing, little kind of shrub. And what they would do is they would pick this thing up and they would dip it into the water, you know, it was mixed with the blood, and they would sprinkle it over things. You know, with that, you know, we would find that lepers were purified, you know, with hyssop. You know, just hyssop, you know, in the water and then washing them. And people would be cleansed by that. And there's all sorts of offerings and things that were cleansed by hyssop. And the thing about hyssop is that hyssop represents the grace of God. It's just a common thing. It represents common faith. That's all it is. It's just something that is common. You know, and we can be cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. It's just a common thing. You know, it's getting yourself under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's saying, God, forgive me. You know, if you've never heard this before, it's called repentance. You know, it's coming to a place where you say, God, you know, I've really loosed up here. God, forgive me. Cover me with your blood. Then what happens is, you know, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. You know, he's not like the, you know, the kind of domineering, you know, authoritarian, you know, leader, you know, that would be over you with the rod and saying, you can't make it. You can't do that. You're not going to do it. No, you're not going to make it. No, he's not like that at all. It says that that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. You know, so anybody that's having a difficult time here, you know, and with, you know, as many people as there are here, maybe there is somebody that's having a difficult time. Just remember that the word of God says that you can be cleansed. You know, and all it involves is just to ask, God, forgive me. That's all I need. And it says here, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Yes, clothed, you know, in his righteousness, not our righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, I tried to make it in this message and it just didn't work. I came under the blood, you know, and he cleansed me. You know, that's the way that the believer comes. The believer comes under the blood. There is no other way. If you think that there's another door, I tell you, you're mistaken. It has always been by the blood, and it will be by the blood. That's how we come. You know, so he takes us to this refreshing fountain, springs of eternal life. You know, and we just sprinkle, you know, that water upon us, and we are clean, whiter than the snow. You know, and we overcome through repentance, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, we come to another part here where Christ actually clothes us as well. You know, we've just read there how he cleans us, but he also cleanses us, clothes us as well, and he makes us spotless and white. Now, let's turn to Revelation 19 and we'll look at verse 7. Now, in Revelation 19, you know, this speaks about the bride of Jesus Christ, you know, and I just love this. This is about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says here, you know, let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and the wife hath made herself ready. You know, some people think, well, you know, it's all up to the Lord. It tells us here, the wife has made herself ready. You know, she's actually asked, you know, to come into his presence. She has actually asked for forgiveness. She has actually asked that God would clothe her in that garment. She has asked. She has come under the anointing of the word, and she's allowed the word to do its work. Even more so. You know, we have to remember, we've actually asked the Lord to do the work. And it says, and to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. You know, so we come to this place. You know, not only are their garments white, but their natures have changed. See? It's not just, well, you know, that's me. I'm covered. You know, I'm okay. You know, there's a little bit more than that. Because, you know, this is a kind of sanctification process as well. It actually cleans you in the inside as well. You know, it actually cleans you. You know, so not only are their garments white, but their natures have changed also, becoming partakers of the divine nature. I don't know if you've ever read that scripture. I guess you have. You know, but I think it's a fabulous scripture. You know, that says that we can be partakers of the divine nature. You know, it's a wonderful scripture. They are clothed in white, having accepted the sacrifice and have come into a covenant with God. You know, sometimes we don't realize that we're actually in a covenant. You know, it's like a marriage covenant. You know, this talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, does that not suggest a covenant? Whenever we get married, we're actually making a covenant. That's what the vows are all about. You know, we say, I do. You know, when you say, I do, that means that you've actually entered into something here. You know, this is a covenant that you have, you know, with your wife. And I tell you, that the husband and wife actually reflect the bride and Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, and that covenant is sacred. It's holy. Amen. You know, and the bride of Jesus Christ reflects Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what they do. You know, it's like the sun and the moon. The moon has absolutely no light of itself. But what it does is it reflects what it sees in, you know, in Jesus Christ. It reflects what it sees in the sun. You know, and for every one of us, you know, that are under the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, and we've come to that place, you know, we are actually reflecting the Son of God. That's what we're doing. We're reflecting the Son of God, and we have become partakers of the divine nature. It's not our nature. We've actually become a partaker of the divine nature. That's another covenant, isn't it? You know, so we've actually come into a covenant with God. And through that covenant, He has cleansed us by His blood. And we have become, you know, partakers of the divine nature. In fact, I'm just going to turn to that scripture because I like it. Let's turn to this one that's in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, isn't it? 2 Peter. Right. 2 Peter. Amen. And it says here, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises. You see how God, you know, wants to give more than we want to receive. Doesn't He? He wants to give more than we want to receive. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, God provides us, you know, with, you know, an escape route as well. You know, thank the Lord that there's an escape route in Laodicea. Does anybody want to stay here? No. He's provided us an escape route, you know, from Laodicea. You know, one of the hallmarks of Laodicea, of course, is, you know, forgiveness without repentance. Everybody, you ever noticed how everybody wants to be forgiven and nobody wants to repent? You know, forgiveness without repentance. And that's, you know, where, you know, the situation that, you know, that some are in even today. So we find that when Christ comes, He is coming for a bride which is, you know, absolutely spotless, white, clothed in clean linen, you know, and, you know, just waiting for the coming of the Lord, you know, made herself ready. You know, Brother Branham says in a message called Marriage of the Lamb, he says, you know, He's coming for a bride. He says, one that don't fool with the world. Doesn't have a love for Laodicea. I don't have any love for Laodicea. I'm here, but I can't help that. You know, God has brought me here. And one of the things I've got to realise as well is that God has built me for Laodicea. Have you ever thought about that? Say, oh, why am I here? Why am I here? Because God sent you here. No, you are designed for Laodicea. Now, you might think that's a bit of a shock, isn't it? But we are actually designed to deal, you know, with all that filth out there. We are designed not only just to deal with it, but to overcome Laodicea. That's what we're designed for. He says He's coming for a bride, one that don't fool with the world, you know, or the things of the world. She is washed in the blood of the Lamb. See the position of the bride, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, and she's pledged her love to Him only, and the love of the world is gone and dead to her. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. You know, the bride is responsible for getting herself ready. You know, and what she does is she feeds on this word, and also she asks of God. She asks. You know, she's not afraid to come before the Lord and ask, you know, for the things that she has need of. You know, when, you know, Jesus Christ and the bride, you know, it's like a husband and wife relationship, isn't it? You know, or a betrothed. You know, the bridegroom will do anything for the bride. Well, you know, the bridegroom will do anything. Jesus will do anything for the believer. You know, anything at all. You know, and he has pledged his love to her, you know, and also, you know, all the resources of heaven, you know, stand, you know, behind, you know, ready to, you know, support that bride. Amen. You know, and Christ covers the believer with his protection. Yeah. You know, we sing that song, I will dwell in the shadow of his wings, under the shadow of his wings. You know, and I tell you, you know, David actually said in the Psalms, Psalms 91, he said that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the believer's position today. You know, under the shadow of the Almighty. It doesn't matter, you know, what the world is doing. The world is doing all sorts of crazy things just now. I don't know if you've noticed it. You know, and it looks as if, you know, something, as Brother Branham says, something is fixing to happen. You know, something, you know, terrible is going to happen. But for the bride of Jesus Christ, you know, we are abiding under the shadow of his wings. You know, remember when they went into the Old Testament, you know, the old tabernacle. You know, the priest would go into that secret place. You know, and in that secret place, you know, there was the wings of the cherubim. And that's where the power and presence of Almighty God was found. That's where the believer is today. You know, it's found underneath, you know, the shadow of his wings. And that's why David says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him I will trust. And surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. I tell you, this world is trying to get a hold of you. You know, and I tell you that he has said that he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. You know, if you've ever felt in bondage and you feel as if, you know, my goodness, this world is really getting to me. You know, we always say this, you know, in kind of workplace situations, don't let them get to you. You know, but it's also true in the spiritual sense as well. You know, that people try to get to you, you know, and spirits try to get you as well. But remember that he has said that he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. You know, amen. You know, the believer has got the armour of God. Full protection. Amen. Absolutely covered, you know, with his presence. You know, and Jesus covers and he protects the whole body. Remember that Jesus protects the whole body from head to foot. That is his bride. You know, and so he protects her. You know, and he has also pledged his love and he's also brought her into a covenant as well. You know, he will protect his bride. And so we come to a time where we have to think, well, you know, Lord, we really need to receive of you. We want to receive, you know, faith from you. But of course, we have to ask. You know, ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. And so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain, you know, to everyone grass in the field. You know, and of course, that sign, you know, the latter rain here, you know, it's a sign indicating the end time. You know, for us, you know, we can look at this scripture and, you know, there's many scriptures in the Bible which are, you know, maybe twofold, threefold or whatever. You know, and we can look at this scripture here and say, yes, we are at this time. You know, this is the season, you know, when, you know, we're in the time of the latter rain. But what we have to also remember as well, that for the bride of Jesus Christ, we have a special dispensation because we have a double portion. Amen. Amen. The double portion, of course, that's taken from Joel 2:23. Wonderful scripture here, which says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, I'm identifying with that, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now remember that when God does something, he does it absolutely perfectly. Amen. And he has actually given us a double portion in this time. You know, he has sent not just the former rain, but he sent the latter rain as well. So we have the best of both worlds here. We have the teaching and we have the eloquence. We have the manifestation, demonstration, and also the word of God expounded before us. You know, it's such a wonderful thing that God does. You know, I'm reminded of how, you know, the story of Elijah and Elisha. You know, and Elisha was just kind of hanging on, you know, to Elijah's, you know, kind of coattails. and thinking, you know, one of these days my master's going to be taken away from me. And of course, Elijah says, you know, well, you know, he says, if you see me, he says, you can ask whatever you want. He says, what do you want? You know, and Elisha asks for a tall order. He says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he says, well, if you see me, you know, taken up with the chariot of fire, he says, you'll have that double portion. He says, you'll have my mantle. He says, and you'll have it. And I tell you, we have a bride today who is watching. And we're feeding off of every word of God. And we're just waiting for that catching away. And I tell you, you know, as we are listening to this word of God, we are receiving a double portion. You know, because not only, you know, are we receiving it in word, but we're also receiving it in spirit as well. You know, the demonstration and power, you know, of the Lord. You know, and if you like, you know, this is like a capstone ministry. This is where, you know, the double portion, the capstone coming down, meeting with the bride. You know, and we're getting a double portion. You know, Brother Branham says that the believer has really got to prepare for the capstone coming down. He says in spoken word as the original seed, he says, now this ministry here has to hone into a place till the very same works that Jesus did. Now, notice how he says this is a ministry. You know, if it's a ministry, you know, of course, you know, my understanding is that ministries are given by God. You know, this is something which is bestowed upon the church. And he is saying that it is a ministry to hone us in. You know, to hone us in means to kind of, you know, cut away all those, you know, superfluous bits and pieces and that kind of thing, so that we can, you know, just come to that place where we're just ready to receive the Son. You know, a little bit of anger gets chipped off the old block, you know, and say, well, no, that was difficult, but praise the Lord, I'm a little bit more ready to meet with the Lord. And God does certain things with the church, and sometimes he's got to kind of peel it down, you know, in order to get it honed in. You know, when he gets it to that place where, you know, it's just ready for the coming of the headstone. And that's the place where he's bringing us today. You know, he's bringing us to this place, and that's why he says it's a ministry. He says, now this ministry here has come to hone into a place till the very same works that Jesus did. Now, I'm just reading it as it says here. He says, because when he comes, the headstone will catch right into it. Because they won't, he says, there'll be a rapture come. He says, and they'll be taken. He says, and the rest of the body will come with it. And she'll be gone into heaven. You know, don't fret, you know, as such, you know, whenever, you know, you feel as if, you know, there's a trial come upon you. And you're saying, oh, this is really hard. You know, this has really hit my family. You know, this is really devastating. You know, because for the believer, remember what it says in Romans, you know, what Paul said in Romans, that all things work together for good for those that love him. You know, you might say, oh, you know, I've went through a really, really difficult time and you're just about to give up and then you remember the word. You know, you've got to come to the word. And then you remember, you know, God is preparing me for something. He is preparing me for the headstone coming down. You know, that's where he's taking us to. You know, to that place where the headstone comes down. He says, there'll be a rapture come and they'll be taken and the rest of the body will come with it. See, you know, the thing is, the truth of the matter is that we are not alone. We are not alone here. Because here we stand. Now, I've got a little kind of thing here. Now, you can take it or leave it, just my opinion. You know, Laodicea. You know, we're in Laodicea. Laodicea looks back to, you know, Philadelphia. You know, and on back, you know, he says that when this capstone comes down, we'll all be kind of, you know, brought together, you know, into one. You know, and I'm of the opinion, you know, and this is just an opinion, you know, that we're not only in Laodicea, but we're also in the bride age as well. You know, I've heard people say, oh, we're in the bride age. Other people say we're in Laodicea. You know, just ignore them. I'm just a guy from Scotland, you know, that just says that, you know, I've got an opinion on that. You know, your attitude places you. That's how I see it. You know, some are in Laodicea. Their attitude places them in Laodicea. Some are in the bride age. And it's your attitude that places you in the bride. Now, that's how I see it. You know, and what's happening here is that we are being honed down until we come to this place ready to receive, you know, the headstone. It says, not a denomination, friends. It says, a church of the Word of God. And so the believers are being molded and shaped into His image. You know, see how that comes out again. We are actually being shaped into His image. You know, and as you know, as we look into that word, we are actually being, you know, changed into that very image. You know, it's just a wonderful transition, you know, that's coming forth here. You know, and I tell you, when will I be perfect? When the body changes. You know, the truth of the matter is here that Brother Brian will never be perfect while he's in this flesh. If you're looking to me to be perfect, you will be sadly disappointed. And I tell you something as well, as I look at you, I know that you're not perfect. You know, there's nobody perfect, but we will be perfect. You know, yes, my soul is redeemed, it's seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but I wait to wit, you know, the redemption of the body. You know, so that's what I'm waiting for, the adoption. You know, which is the, you know, the changing. You know, so I'm waiting for that. That's when I'll be perfect. And that's, and even at that, I'll be declared perfect. It will be unmerited favour. You know, and I'll actually be declared perfect. You know, so watch this space. It's going to happen. Amen. You know, so we're preparing for the headstone. We're preparing for the rapture. You know, and Brother Branham actually speaks about this. He speaks about, you know, how there's a kind of revival going on. End time, sign, seed. You know, he mentions something about this. He says there's a revival going on. You know, did anybody realise that there's a revival going on just now? You know, some people are saying, I'm waiting for the bride's revival. You know, I tell you, when I'm reading these books and I'm listening to these tapes, I'm in revival. I'm not looking for anybody else. I've got it here. You know, and yes, you know, I might be in the 21st century. That might be, might have been in the 20th century. But there's enough food there to keep me going. And I tell you that this message will take me in the rapture. You know, that's what I believe. This message will take me in the rapture. I'm not looking for anything else. Because the revival is already there. He says there's a revival going on. He says, what is it? It's sown. He says, you don't hear very much of Billy Graham no more, do you? He says, what about Oral? He says, what about the rest of them? You know that there's a great revival, fire's not burning. He says, what is it? He says, it's the end time seed sign. He says, the word has been sown. You know, the word of God has already been sown. And it's been sown here tonight as well. You know, we've actually got the former rain and the latter rain in the first month here. Yes, the word of God is being sown, but don't just, you know, concentrate on that. There's also a latter rain here as well. You know, this word, you know, should come into effect. You know, this word should actually, you know, come into demonstration. You know, and it's going on just now. He says, what is it then? He says, what is it? He says, denominations will reap denominations. Now, one of the things that I'm really, you know, amazed at when I read, you know, the message and I read, you know, what Brother Branham says is, you know, the foresight. Amen. Now, he's speaking here in 1962. Right. You know, and he's actually saying that, you know, that the Pentecostal group and also the evangelicals will come together. Right. Now, for us, that's commonplace. Right. You know, why not? You know, that's the way we think just now. But back then, that wasn't the way people were thinking. The Pentecostals and the fundamentalists and that kind of thing, they were completely, you know, miles and miles apart. You know, and round about this time, we also had Vatican II as well. The Pope, you know, actually saw, oh, right, this Pentecostal movement could be useful. You know, it could be a bridge. You know, let's get into this. You know, and there's all sorts of things, you know, that are happening then. And what the thing that really amazes me is Brother Branham's, you know, perception, you know, and how he could, you know, foresee these things. You know, and even though it's just in little baby form here, he was able to take these things and tell us about them. And then we're reading them here in 2007, nearly 2008, and saying, my goodness, did he get it right? He got it right. He did, absolutely. You know, this word is way, way, you know, ahead of its time. You know, and he says denomination will reap denomination. You know, and that's true. I don't know whether I should mention it, but trying to, you know, convert somebody that's been brought under the kind of Billy Graham influence. I know that there are a few that have managed to come out from there and come into the message. Very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. You know, and very, very difficult, you know, those that have been brought under the kind of charismatic thing, you know, and, you know, under that kind of anointing, very, very difficult to bring them into the word, you know, because they feel as if they've got something. But what Brother Branham says is that denomination will reap denomination. He says, and that's what makes them confederate themselves together. So he's talking about confederation before there was even any thought of a confederation. So he's saying that that's what makes them confederate themselves together. In other words, spirits recognize spirits. They do. You know, and I'd say that, you know, the next portion here, I'd say that that's my vision, you know, for the church. You know, this is my vision for the church. You know, and, you know, I like what Brother Branham says here. He says, but the word of God has been sowed also. Amen. The word of God has been sowed also. He says, and when the Spirit of God begins to fall, the word of God will live in the people. Amen. You know, and for me, that just sums the whole thing up. You know, that when the word of God is sowed, see, it says when the Spirit of God begins to fall. Now notice he's talking really about the rain coming down. You know, we've got the word, and then the Spirit of God comes on top of that. You know, and it says here that the word of God will live in the people. You know, and that's really my desire, is to see the word of God living in the believer. You know, that's what, you know, this whole thing here, you know, would be absolutely, you know, no consequence unless the word of God was doing its work. You know, and believers were actually beginning to live that message. You know, this message isn't just a code, of life, you know, and it's not just, you know, some sort of, you know, help, you know, that or some sort of code of practice. You know, but this is actually a life as well. He also goes on to say here, he says, and a false bride that's committed adultery out there and brought herself into creeds and sold out her birthright will reap what? She'll reap a confederation of church. He says, and it's to be bound and burned like thorns and thistles. He says, but where the word of God has been sown into the people's heart, it will reap a bride for Christ. Amen. Amen. As certain as I'm standing here, end time signs. Amen. You know, and it's always been that pattern. John the Baptist, he sowed a seed, and then the word of God came. The word in flesh, he baptized it. You know, and the only thing that can bring forth, you know, a crop, you know, is first of all, you've got to have the right seed. And you've also got to have the former, the latter rain. You know, God has got to send the rain as well. And you know, the word, you know, or, you know, it actually, you know, blesses the right true seed. You know, we've got to feed on the right thing. We've got to, you know, just be the right seed. You know, God has already, you know, chosen us before the foundation of the world. You know, you find out that, you know, that we've always been a seed. You know, and that's one of the amazing things, isn't it? You know, that, you know, I thought that I put my hand up and says I want to become a Christian. And then I found out, you know, through reading the word, that, oh, God already knew about me. He'd already predestinated me. I was already a seed to begin with. I just wasn't manifest. You know, so God is wonderful. You know, and he waters that seed. You know, what he does is he takes that seed, and that seed has got to come forth in its season. See, so so that seed is watered. I want you all to notice here. Let's see now that that she is actually the word. You know, of the bride, it was actually said, you know, in the scriptures, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." That's from Songs of Solomon 4:7. Now, the bride of Jesus Christ, I'll just tell you that she's under the blood. She's under the blood, and because of that, she can ask. She can ask of God. And even if you're not under the blood, maybe it's time to ask God. You know, say, God, you know, I need to repent. I need to get, you know, I need to get right with you. I need to come before you, you know, and I need you to forgive me of my sins. You know, maybe that's where we need to come to. You know, for some of us, you know, maybe some of us, we just want a deeper walk with him. But we have to ask. And really, that's the crux of everything that I'm saying here. We have to ask. You know, she is the word of his word. You know, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. You know, we read here in a paragraph, it says, and then the word moves down into the body from the head. He says, what is it? He says, this is the same word. In other words, the seed brings forth the seed, doesn't it? You know, it'd be very strange if the seed brought forth another seed, wouldn't it? You know, it just doesn't happen. But the word brings forth the word, and the seed brings. If that seed is within you, it will manifest the word of God. That's what it will do. He says, the word moves down into the body from the head. He says, what is it? He says, it's the same word. He says, nothing can be added added or taken from it. It says so that the word moves, you know, from the head as the day comes close. It says down to the body. It says down into the body, vindicating that they are one.
Amen.
This is getting back to this covenant thing, isn't it? You know, the bride and Christ become one.
Amen.
That's what we're moving towards here. The bride and the Christ come. We've already said, yes, I do. We've already said that bit. You know, and we're just coming into this, you know, this mystical union. Amen. And so, you know, down into the body, vindicating that they are one. It says, they are husband and wife. They are flesh of his flesh, word of his word. Amen. Life of his life and spirit of his spirit. He says, and how do you know it? You know, she bears the same record, the same fruit, the same word, manifest Christ. See, the same life, same God, same spirit, same word, same book, same signs. The things that I do, you shall do also. Amen. You know, so where are we? You know, what place have we come to? I just trust that, you know, some of the things I've said today, you know, I've probably, you know, just been a little bit quick today, I don't know. But I trust that we've maybe come to a place where we realise that it's maybe time to ask. We need to ask of God. Sometimes you don't receive something because you just don't ask. You know, if I was to say to you tonight, you know, I've got this big checkbook here, you know, and I'm just writing out, you know, for $1 million, and ask if there's any takers here. I'm not sure how good it will be at the bank, by the way. But, you know, and I'll say, I'll write your name on it if you ask. I'm quite sure there'd be a lot of people saying, you know, I'll be number one there. You know, and I'd like my name on the checkbook here, or my name on the check. And I'd say, yes, Brother Stephen, I'll do that for you. You know, and I'd put that name down, gladly. And then you can check it out with the bank after that. But the thing is, you know, that we have to ask of God. You know, God has got great resources, more resources than I would ever have. And we have to come to that place where, you know, we're asking, you know, of God. You know, and with that, you know, I think we'll just commit ourselves to the Lord now. And, we'll just pray a little here. And then I'm just going to, you know, sing something for you. Let's just come before the Lord. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we've come before you, Father, expecting great things. And God, you've manifested your word to us and you've opened it up, Lord. And God, just a simple message. But we pray, Father, that the words that have been said may it just sink deep down into our hearts. And even I'm here tonight or today as a learner. Because this is a kind of teaching reign. And I want to be taught of you. But I'm also glad that you've also sent a great anointing as well to bless us and even to help us to grow in grace. I just pray that you would help us, even if we struggle, to ask of you, to ask in faith. Help us, Lord, just to ask the right things. Help us, Lord, to base our asking on your word. And help us, Lord Jesus, just to understand that word. The things that we don't understand, Lord, we just put to one side. But Lord, we just ask, Father, just bring us into a deeper walk with you, a deeper communion. And even, Lord, that you would just reveal to us, Father, even more about your covenant and that covenant that you have brought us into. And Lord, I just pray for these people gathered here today, that your presence and your spirit would be upon them. And even, God, that you would just grant them, Lord, a deeper walk with you, and even that you would lead them and guide them. I pray for this church here, knowing that this building here is a standing memorial and testimony to your love. And even, God, it reaches out to the community, not only just the local community, but also around the world as well. And I just pray, Father, this time that you would just, Lord, use this place, Father God, for your glory. Even, Lord, that you would bless the pastor, Father. Lord, our brother Jeff, Father, I pray, God, that you would have your hand upon him and even that you would strengthen and encourage him. Even as they go up, Father God, to Michigan and even to this, Lord, to this conference thing that they're going to. I just pray that you would be with them and even anoint the preaching, Lord. And for the people who are listening on, I just pray, God, that they would be completely, Lord, Lord, just brought closer to you, Father, and even, Lord, that their lives might be changed and delivered. And Lord, I just pray that they might go back to their churches absolutely, you know, full of the things that they've heard and just want to go back and bless others. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Pray, Father, even help us, Lord, in our lives. Help us to be a witness for you, not just to keep all this message to ourselves, but, Lord, realizing that you have said that, Lord, that if we come to you, Father, that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. I just pray, Father, help us to be overflowing. And even, Lord, the things that we have heard to spread abroad. And even, Lord, just to, it might just help someone just to come in. I just, Lord, commit all things into your hands in Jesus' name. Praise your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. This one's called Everything Cries Holy. And it's one that's really blessed us, you know, back home. We see the Lord, He is high upon the throne, and His glory fills the heavens and the earth. One like a lamb who is slain is on the throne, so I cast my crown before you and bow down to pray. Everything cries holy, everything cries holy, everything cries holy to you, Lord. Everything cries holy, everything cries holy, everything cries holy to you, Lord. We say the Lord, and He is high upon the throne, and His glory fills the heavens. Like a lamb who was slain is on the throne, and so I cast my crown before you and bow down to thee. Everything cries holy, everything cries holy, everything cries holy. Everything cries holy, everything cries holy, everything cries holy to you, Lord. That's the thing, everything cries holy, everything cries holy, everything cries holy, everything cries holy to you, Lord. Everything cries holy, everything cries holy to you, Lord, to you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Jeff.
Hallelujah. Good word. Good word. It's one more golden gem to place into the treasure trove of our hearts. It's one more amen in years and years of amens. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song to the Lord. Hallelujah. Just shut in with Him. How many are ready to ask? that your joys might be full. How many are ready to raise to a higher level of expectation and faith? Brother Dave said, attitude is altitude. And Brother Brian said, attitude places you. The prophet said, the right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. Ask. If you've plateaued in given areas of your life, know that your thoughts got you there. You got to change your thinking. You got to change your attitude. Because that thought's going to take you to a destiny. If you want to change some of the areas in your life, then while the anointing is here, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? The prophet stood before Hattie Wright and said, what do you want? Angel of the Lord came down. Tell her whatever she wants. You talk about a blank check. You talk about a blank check. Tell her whatever she wants. She can have it. Hattie, the angel of the Lord is here. He just told me to tell you that whatever you want, you can have it. Well, we know what she asked for. She asked for the right thing. She did not ask amiss to consume it on her lusts. She asked for the salvation of her children. How many believe that same angel, Jesus Christ, is here? And he's saying through me and through Brother Brian, through the Word of God, whatever you want. How many believe that? Whatever you want. Let's stand to that. Let's stand to that. You ask whatever you want. I know I already got out of my heart what I'm asking for. And I'm going to believe for it at the same time.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just get in the spirit with him now. Only him.
Hallelujah.
Ask what you will.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
while they play softly. I want you now, I'm going to turn my mic off because I want to ask God for something while His presence is here. That same anointing that was in that room with Hattie Wright is here right now. And I'm going to turn my mic off so I can pray for what I want to pray for. And if you want to kneel at your seat, or you want to kneel or sit at your seat, or you want to stand, however you want to do it, I just want you to take a few minutes now to ask your Lord, ask your Master, ask the giver of every good gift and the author of life to grant you your request. Amen. Let's pray together. You pray how you want to pray in whatever position you want to pray in for just a few moments. You said, ask that your joys might be full. God, I believe that when I bowed my head and I prayed, that you heard every desire of every individual here in this audience. Every person had something upon their heart, someone upon their heart, some burden upon their heart. And they laid that burden at your feet. They cast all their cares upon you. And they asked that their joys might be full. They asked, knowing that they shall receive. Often we have not because we ask not. So Lord Jesus, as a pastor, often, whenever there's a crack in the door, I like to put my foot in it and see if God isn't making an opportunity for every person to move. For God is already moving, but for them to catch the spirit, catch the wind, catch the move of God, catch the breeze of God, and then move in that direction. And not miss that opportunity. Never ever do I want to go through the motions. Never ever do I want to just fill a time slot. I want to be in the spirit where the Holy Spirit can move spontaneously, instantly, in a moment's notice. And when he moves, I want to catch it. And I want to ride on that wave. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time together and the Word of God. Thank you for being washed by your Word. Thank you for Brother Brian. Bless him for his labor of love, for the Word of life that he brought to our hearts, for the Word of encouragement and faith that he brought to our hearts, for a word of vision that he brought to our hearts. Lord Jesus, we can say with assurance, we will leave this place different, higher in the Lord, deeper in our character, more perceptive to the moving of the Holy Spirit, closer to God, freer from our sins. Lord Jesus, I thank you for that Welch revival, that true killing and that true reviving that's going on almost simultaneously. One thing dies and Christ resurrects. Another thing dies and Christ resurrects. Another thing dies. And Lord, I want to walk into those flames and I want only to emerge Jesus Christ out of those flames. God, may you be seen in our lives. We're not out to convince people of a creed or a dogma, a doctrine. We want them to see the doctrine on display in our lives. God, we know that there are still yet thirsting souls and hearts hungering. Think of all the burden that you placed on Brother Brian, and then to see the Congolese people respond to that burden. That burden was placed on Brother Brian because God placed it there. And somebody had to be on earth to ask. There had to be a deep calling so that the deep could respond. The deep was already there, but it couldn't respond until somebody on earth asked. So Lord Jesus, help us to be good seekers, good knockers, to continue to knock at your door. Help us, Lord Jesus, to continue to search for you and seek for you and knock, knowing the door shall be open. Help us to be perseverant, persistent, never giving up, always pressing towards the mark. Help us to have a clear vision. Help us to see clearly your objective and to march toward it. Help us to have a face fixed like flint on nothing to the left or to the right, but only on Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, for those that are in limbo spiritually, halt between two opinions, not moving forward, God, that they would repent completely and entirely, that you would overwhelm them with the power of God. And Lord, you would smite that doubt and that fear and that spirit that will not allow them to move forward. I pray for those, Lord God, that are repenting and are ready to be baptized, that God, they'll make that next step. I pray that we'll continue to move as the Spirit's impulse guides us and directs us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word of life. We thank you for this time together in your presence. Every service is special. God, it's so good to have been here, to be in your presence. The wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and everybody said, amen.
In Jesus' name, we press on and on. Dear Lord, win the prize here before our eyes. We find the strength to press on.
That's a beautiful song. Sing it under him now.
Oh, in Jesus' name, we press on. Amen. In Jesus' name, we press on. Oh, yeah. Here before our eyes. touch the Lord. Let's just sing that unto Him. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes.
And make me more.
song.